forgive the unforgivable, and why is it so important? Welcome to It's Her Turn. I'm your host, Dr. Kate Dow, and I'm privileged and honored to have Dr. Anita Sanchez join us today, who is a Nahuatl Mexican-American who does amazing transformational leadership in her consulting and coaching. She's also an award-winning author with her book, The Four Sacred Gifts, Indigenous Wisdom for Modern Times. Anita, thank you so much for joining us today.
I'm just delighted to be here.
So let's just jump on in to a little bit of your history and what are the places that have been defining challenges in your journey?
Yes. Well, I think there are quite a number, and a lot of them, the big ones, I think, were early. So economic poverty, that I'm a part of a family of eight. And I remember my early years, we grew up growing up in a two-room house. But the economics wasn't really as bad as some of the other things. I had to deal with sexual abuse for 9 years. And that was, all of that is just enough. But it didn't end with that. And so one of the pivotal things, challenges I had was at age 13, my father was murdered. He was a dark-skinned person, and he was mistaken for a Black person. We're talking about in the 60s, the late 60s. And after work, he would come home and he would go to the neighborhood bar and have a beer. And that day, unbeknownst to him earlier, a white man and a Black man had an argument. And so when a white man returned, he saw my father's profile and fired three bullets and killed him on the spot.
And oh, so my God.
Imagine at age 13, that was like, oh, that was huge loss, even though he certainly wasn't the perfect father, what the circumstances were in. However, to have our whole family's lives changed, mine did dramatically at that point. There's an important piece that I want to share on this story that follows it, because it's enough that, you know, and it sort of fits with the time now and looking at people becoming awakened to how dark-skinned people, particularly Black, but anyone dark-skinned, some of the rules are different for us and the prejudices and things that happen. But the week after my father's murder, I was next to my mom, and a white woman and a young white boy who was probably about my age came to the door, and she identified herself as the wife and the son of the man who murdered my father. And I remember my mom, her body just stiffened as I was standing next to her at the front door. And then the woman began to say things like, Mrs. Sanchez, I had to come and see you. You just needed to know that my husband would never have killed your husband if he knew he was Mexican and Native American. He thought he was Black, and you know how Black people are. And she just started going on about Black people. And, you know, my mom knew how to yell, but I never heard her yell at a stranger. I remember her screaming like, stop, stop. You don't even know what you're saying. You don't even know what you're teaching your son. But I want you to know, gosh, I'm going to try really hard to pray for your soul, but you get off my porch.
And wow.
That, yeah, it was intense. And I share that story because I think it's important, both it's timely, but also what can happen from such a huge loss, from something as unforgivable as murder.
It's so powerful and so intense. And then to have that on top of it, right? Already the experience of that loss, and then to be faced with this person's very ignorant, limited view, thinking that they're trying to make amends, that, well, this wouldn't have happened if he knew that your, you know, father was brown skinned, not Black skinned, as if that made it okay. And I have to say, I really respect your mom for being able to call it out the way she did. Like, are you kidding? Like, you don't even know negativity, the dishonor that you're saying right now to all people, right?
Yeah, the absolute hatred. And that night she gathered us kids together, and I'll never forget, because she said, okay, I'm going to say this once, so I want you to really listen with the softest part of your ear and your expanding heart, which is one of the things that said a lot in my family. And she said, a white man murdered your father, not the white race, a white man. And then she opened the Kansas City Star, the newspaper, and there was a picture of my father on the bar room floor, just blood all over. And she goes, now this is racism. This is like, if a white person is, there's violence, there's never pictures. There's a respect and honoring for the dead and for their family. And we deserve that. Then this has to stop. And I'll just never forget that, because that was very, very powerful for her to make the distinction. She had a seventh grade education. So I want to say that too, but she was one of the wisest people I ever knew. But the fact that she could put that in there so that, and go on to say that, you know, she believed that most people are kind. Most people want the same thing. And most people don't, you know, foster hatred. However, she also was very clear and said, what you do need to be careful, because there are those people who are ignorant, just right. as you were saying, and they do want to hurt you, right. but that's not most people. And so that became so critical, because I didn't know from that, that loss and everything, that I was going to go on and do what the 3-year-old and 4-year-old Anita that I dreamt actually all my young years, including still now, which I see myself, I dream about the earth, and there's all these stick people, and they're different sizes and colors, but we have our hands on each other's hearts. And that dream began for me at age 3 and 4. And what happened after the murder of my father, it escalated, because one, we were poor. So I skipped a couple years of school. So I was in college by 16. And although I didn't have the language at the time, just, you know, connecting each other's hearts around the world, very quickly, I ended up doing consulting and training work all over the world. In my early 20s, I was already in Singapore. By my late 20s, I'm in large global corporations. And it was there that some true healing can happen. So I just want your listeners, Kate, and I know you're just do such profound work, that it's so important. You never know where the forgiveness is going to really come to light and where the healing happens, because it was actually in corporate rooms and training rooms that the 13-year-old Anita's was able to really fully forgive and do the healing work.
Well, so I just want to back up for a minute, because for your mom to be able to speak about and name the distinction of, you know, this is what we believe and this is what is racism that is not okay, and you need to watch your back, to be able to express that and help you as a young person to understand sort of the moral ethics of the situation and the deeper heart and wisdom of the situation, I think is such an incredible gift, because of course that's a big part of what trauma is that for many people, they don't get that context. They don't get that validation, and they don't get the understanding of how do people behave like this? You know, how do people do awful things and believe awful things that are harmful, not only to the world, but to ourselves? Because we know when we judge and hate others, we are splitting off from ourselves as well. So I just want to acknowledge how deeply powerful that message was that your mom offered. And, you know, I hearing you say it now, but I also read it in your book, and it moved me so significantly, because as a child, I felt like I didn't get that context named. And so I struggled for a long time between what my parents believed and what was happening in the world, or the parts of them that believed, you know, wisdom, and the other parts that were still believing things they grew up with. It was very confusing. So I just really want to honor your mother for a moment.
Yeah, and then, no, I appreciate that.
Yeah. And then really definitely recognize.
Yes. And what I know is that, you know, they're not all my mother, but there are a lot of Francis Sanchez's out there. Because when I talk in, you know, with Indigenous people and with other people of color, many parents, this is just an I as a parent, this is part of what we have to teach our children. You know, that to love themselves, to honor themselves, to be confident, but also not to deny the hardships that are that that use extra energy in order to stay safe. And at the same time, you don't want to use up all your energy that way. There's too many good things. So let me just say, because I think, again, I want people to know that we are not our circumstances. And that's, yes, I think, the part that that made this book just take off and get so many international accolades. And I just speak on about it all the time, I'm asked, is that when I then, you know, in my 20s, I'm already consulting, I'm training, I'm doing diversity and inclusion work. So there already, I didn't know that I was going to be a diversity, equity, and inclusion trainer, consultant, but it fit with the heart work of my dream. So there, just sort of trusting your dreams and follow the dreams. And then the other thing was, as sitting in circles, I'd put people of color in circle and they'd share their stories. And then white people in circles and they'd share their stories. And what I was hearing from many white people, not all, but many of them, would share how their parents did teach them from their beliefs that they were better than people of color, that they, you know, they were more deserving. And what I heard is the pain in the white people's voices about this, and that they love their parents as they should, but they were doing something different. And so I saw people not nearly fast enough, but nonetheless behaving in a different way, changing policies and programs, trying to setting up mentoring programs and things to make sure that women and people of color could move up. So again, maybe not, definitely not fast enough. However, they were doing something different. And what came to me was, oh my gosh, it just finally, after nights and nights of dreaming about the situation I just told you about, the woman, white woman, and the probably around 13, also boy, coming to our door, I started seeing that whole picture over and over again, but I couldn't see the young white boy's face until finally, after all these corporate trainings with people, all of a sudden I could see this young boy's face that I know today, that if I were to be able to see him, I would know him as an older man. But what came through to me was the 13-year-old Anita was so filled with pain and hurt from not only the murder, but the abuse, from the racism, from the poverty, all the inequities, that I didn't see what the adult Anita could see, which was that day my brothers and sisters and I lost my father. But that summer day, that young white boy lost his father too. And he grew up with knowing his father was a murderer. And so I just, you know, something clicked on for me in terms of being able to forgive. So I don't want it to sound, sometimes forgiveness can happen really quickly. And sometimes it could take years or decades and we can't fool ourselves. And sometimes you'll forgive and then there'll be another layer that'll arise at some point. But for me, that was a huge, huge one. And then fast forward to George Floyd last year, which I wrote about this. I talk about it. I help people learn how to forgive, how to free themselves. But that thing knocked me to my knees again. George's murder just knocked me. And what happened is it allowed me to go even another level to heal. But it also made me remember a voice I heard at age 13, after hearing and sobbing about the murder of my father, which was a voice that said, "This will end in your lifetime." And so as I sobbed out in my yard in Boulder, Colorado, about George Floyd and all the people of color enduring this, and then the white people also enduring this, everyone of every direction enduring this, that this will end in our lifetime. And now it's going to take a lot of work, but what important work is there to do? This is really a huge one.
Well, I align with that. I mean, I've had a strong sense of, you know, what is possible and how the consciousness needs to change in my lifetime as well. I feel like we're very connected in that way about like seeing the possibility of this consciousness returning to the planet and awakening everybody so that we could do this different. And it is, it's an enormous gap of like, wow, can't even imagine how we're going to make the strides we need to make. And this is kind of the question that lies before us is maybe it's not linear. Maybe we have no idea how this is coming, but to be the place of hope and forgiveness and unity, like you speak about in your book that I connect with so much, I believe is the vision, right? We just keep holding that vision of possibility like you did as a young person, like I've done in my mind and in my heart. And we just say how we're going to get there, we don't know, but we can keep holding the vision, right?
Yeah, we have to keep holding it. And it does require some things that we do know to be true. Before I get into those, I want to make sure, because this is part of what held me back on forgiveness. I had a misnotion about what forgiveness is. So I really want to say what forgiveness is not. I think this is really important for the listeners to hear that forgiveness is not avoidance of justice. Mm-hmm. Forgiveness doesn't mean you forget what happened. Forgiveness doesn't mean you're weak. And forgiveness doesn't mean you've sold out or you're disloyal to yourself, or if it's one of the big hurts that you're disloyal to a whole group of people. It doesn't mean any of that. Forgiveness can actually mean you do seek justice, but you don't do it out of a past lost hurt and pain, out of resentment, revenge, those kind. Instead, by forgiving, you actually release what did or did not happen so that you can use your energy in the here and now to create what it is you want. So actually, in my forgiveness, I became even more of an activist for healing and hope and for the one hoop, the unity of all people, that I became even bigger by releasing that. So forgiveness really means for me three things. It means it is a path to freedom. It means that I really care enough about myself that I have a sense of what freedom really means. The other thing is it is the path to unconditional love. Because when I think about that, it is impossible to truly love oneself if you're still holding on to all these pains and hurts and mistreatments and not forgiving. And then Elder Basil Braveheart, this was the summer of before the pandemic. So it was in 2019. I was at a Sundance and I remember Basil, we were doing a special thing at the Sundance on forgiveness. And he came over and I met him because I didn't know him. And he said, oh, you're one of the forgiveness ladies. My mother, we're forgiveness people too. And he said, but I want you to add something, that forgiveness is the passcode to your divinity. And I said, I will take that into my heart and I'm going to work that. And I know in the next book and in my talks, I will always include that. And so what it means is not that you're not going to still have hardships or hurts or mistreatments, but that you will deal with them in the here and now and use your energy. You'll have freedom and choice of how you be and what you do. And all of this requires action. So some people think, oh, forgiveness is very passive. You just sort of let go and all. And it's like, oh, I don't think you understand what forgiveness is. It's a very active, proactive process that has released a lot of ability to be proactive in any and everything they do, from both healing, but also from creating with others as well. I can't imagine a life from age 13, if I went around and thought, oh my gosh, Kate, I couldn't talk to any or be in collaboration with any white person, particularly a white man, because they're all murderers. That just, it's not only irrational, it deprives me of my own humanity. So forgiveness is a powerful gift.
Oh, I agree. And I think it is. You if you're not forgiving, you are stuck in the past. You're stuck in that resentment and in that block in yourself. So it is about serving your own life to the highest. Like, how do I step into my full experience of who I am and live my life free and connected to my soul? It can't happen unless we do that work. Yes. And forgiveness work is, I think, a very misunderstood and very difficult path for people, because they get stuck in that fear of, if I say sorry, then I'm accepting that what happened was okay. And it's like, no, it's not okay. It just means you're not holding the dam of your life up. You know, you're going to let your life flow. And yeah, it can be still seeking justice and seeking amends and seeking right action. Right. That's all part of it. And I really appreciate how you spoke about that as well in the book. It's such an
important. I want to link it. Yes. And thank you. And link it to collective. So I know in our Indigenous communities, growing up, we would be, I remember so little being in talking circles and kind of amazed how I felt. I didn't have language for it, but I could feel as other people were talking and healing their issues and pains, something was happening to me too. And that speaks to what we know, that Indigenous wisdom keepers all over the world know, that we are intimately interconnected. We are all relatives. And so the collective forgiveness, the collective healing, I believe is part of the process we're in now, and in a big way. And it's just calling forth the our higher selves. But in doing that collective work, I believe we also are honoring collectively our elders, our ancestors, whoever you are, whether you're from the white direction, black direction, red direction, yellow direction. We are honoring our elders who gave their lives doing the best they can in all the different situations they came from, and that we're able to evolve and pull that forward. So there's a lot of, and not everybody's in agreement about how you do that, but I do know that from, my experience, from the elders that I deal with all over the world, that forgiveness is a huge part of what needs to happen. And so that's, I appreciate that we get to talk about what it is not, because it does not mean we're not in action. I'm in so much, and I see so many of my relatives of all the different directions doing that as well. And if I could link it now, I want to link it to women, because I know a lot of women listen in particular to your podcast. One of the things before we went into, social distancing and things and not flying and anything, I'm involved in a lot of ceremonies all over the world. And one of the themes that I was hearing more and more from about 2015, 16, right out through 2019, early 2020, when I could still travel, is that wherever in the ceremonies, what was coming through in communication with each other and the earth and spirit was the role of women. Mm-hmm. I mean, I am, for all the hard things that I've been through as a woman and still have to deal with sometimes, I am so glad to be a woman. But what came through in these ceremonies is it's time for women to rise. It's time for our voices to be heard. The message wasn't, it's not time to put down men. It wasn't about that. It was about us rising, because in creating the harmony and balance that the earth itself is calling for, and that species that are dying, that are becoming extinct, and that our own human family that is in such, is that women need to rise up. And so I just want to share, there was this beautiful ceremony in the foothills of the huge mountains. And I was in Kyrgyzstan, so the Himalayas. And I was with women for a whole week, and we were in ceremony. And it was just powerful. And we would do ceremony, and they do things differently. Instead of tobacco ties, they create these little figures, and we pray thousands of prayers, and they dip it in ghee, and then they create like a mound, a pyramid, and then we light that and the ceremony. And in this was so clear what was rising up. It was very cloudy early in the morning, but every day when we did ceremony and the messages would come through the women, there would photos, they allow photos to be taken. You could see a ray of sun, how it got through all those clouds and would land right in the center of us. And so I share to women, because some things are seen, some things we know from our five senses, but some things we know it's beyond that. It's the seen and the unseen. And so, you know, if you're listening and Cake providing this time, it's because it is time, not only for ourselves. That's really important, that self-love, so we can move forward. But it, that strength and that ability to move with love and courage is actually serving the whole human family and the family of all the other species that we're intimately connected to.
I agree wholeheartedly. That's my vision too, that this return of the feminine consciousness is for all beings, but I really see women needing to reclaim that, reconnect to that in our mind, body, spirit, in order to live more connected with our feminine side, awareness and wisdom, so that we can start to create those shifts in the world and for the men and for all of humanity. Like you said, like, we need to listen and know we are connected to the earth. We cannot treat her like she's just this place we get to take resources from. That interconnection is that inherent feminine wisdom. And so how do we help women move to this forgiveness? Because so many women have been abused, oppressed, struggled, racially discriminated against. What would you say to women how to move into this forgiveness for themselves so that they're doing this not just for themselves, they're holding that space for their community, for humanity?
Yes. Well, I'll name one. I want to first say there are so many different approaches. There are so many. But what I found in studying this and being with different traditions around the world are a few things that were common themes. First of all, you need to listen. So the good news, even if you're pain, it's going to sound contradictory. Even if you're pain, that means you're listening. That means if it's coming up, that means that's your inner spirit. That's your unconscious and conscious mind now coming, as well as your heart, saying you can do this. So key is to listen. And to not run away, but to listen. And then second thing that I saw was very common was support, was to gather support. And the support could be from nature. So sometimes, especially if people have been harmed so much from two-leggeds, that sometimes where they find the healing really happening, the ability to forgive is with trees and water and the earth and the gardens and,
absolutely.
So it's, and birds. I mean, it's all of that. And so it's to find that support, and the support could be two-legged too, because it may be that it is a therapist or a women's group or whatever it is, that's another fundamental part. And then a third part that allows the forgiveness to happen is there becomes more and more of experience the schism of, wait a minute, I deserve to love. I deserve to be loved. You know, I deserve unconditional love. And so that was a third factor that allowed to move through even some horrific kinds of what people would say unforgivable. Some of it we've been seeing just even in the last year or so, not other people, not only George Floyd's, but other. And then you see the parents come forward and say, please stop. Stop the rioting, stop this. And I forgive that person. You know, yeah, they're going to go get tried and they probably go, but I forgive that person. And I know some people go like, no, that can't be real. What are they doing? And I understand it. They're not paying at all the attention, but they're able to do that. So that's that unconditional love that has such power. And as women, I think that we've been socialized and patriarchy has done its number on us. However, that is so innate to us. And it actually is innate to men too, as they begin to understand and love that part of themselves that is called feminine, you know,
right.
That we all have this masculine and feminine. And so that's good. So that's a third thing. So listening, get support, unconditional love, and then positive action. It's like the car, right? So where's a place to start? I remember years ago when we first got whatever it was, the stuff that tells you where you don't no longer need to have maps. They tell you your GPS. And I remember my husband going, and I said, but it's not telling me anything. He goes, you have to start the car. You have to move. That's it. We have to move. When we fly in a plane, the plane is off course more of the time than on. So we'd probably be more frightened if we just knew how much it was off course. But it has to move to get to where it wants to go. So our intention to be whole and healthy, to create not only harmony inside our own ecosystem, but in everything that we touch, and even that we just, you know, don't even know from afar, is going to require us to be in action and to not judge negatively if some of the actions are not on course. It's like, oh, good. Well, now I know that's not on course. So now I'll try this and I'll try this. So just right. Even those four things right. To begin that, along with knowing what forgiveness really is and what is not, just allow so much ability to be the divine that we are, you know, to use that passcode, to have that path to freedom, to have that path to unconditional love. That's ours. That's due to every two-legged, every being. And so I'm just excited that you do you know, it's your turn. It's her turn podcast. I just thought, yes, it is.
It really is. Well, you know, you're such a wonderful leader and mentor for women to see how you can walk through abuse and loss and hurt and anger and racism and poverty and inequities, and to come to a place of, in order for you to shine, to do the work that you came to do, meant to walk through that forgiving the unforgivable. And that's what we're being asked, I think, right now at this time, with all of the acknowledgement of the impact of colonialism and racism on people of color, women of color, and the healing that needs to happen. We have to be able to hold space for this possibility of forgiving the unforgivable in ourselves, yeah. In each other. It's the only way forward. So thank you for your courage and for your beautiful book. Let's touch on that briefly here as we're coming to a close, because your book is just amazing. Share a little bit about how people can find you and what your journey was with that.
Yeah. So The Four Sacred Gifts, Indigenous Wisdom for Modern Time, is really not, I'm down as the author, but this comes from 27 Indigenous elders, Don Coyes, founder of White Bison, elders from all over the world who listened to and the vision and created the Eagle Hoop prophecy from spirit and put those four gifts in there. So the four gifts are the gift of the power to forgive the unforgivable. Put that in the ceremonial part of your heart. The gift of the power of unity. Put that in the ceremonial part of your heart. The gift of the power of healing. Put that in the ceremonial part of your heart. And the gift of the power of hope in action. Put that in the ceremonial part of your heart. And so those four gifts, the promise from spirit is use these gifts, because the two-leggeds have forgotten and it's causing all this hardship. And we need to remember, and if you use these four gifts, you will remember how to create harmony and balance in your own life and with all your relatives. And so since the mid-90s, I have been using those gifts in corporate, from C-suite to newbies coming in global nonprofits all over the world. And I finally created the book, which became, as you said, an international award winner, international bestseller. And because there's been so much demand, Kate, I just created a course, an e-course, so that people can read the book. But if they want to go deeper into each of the gifts, they can go through that. So to find out more on any of this, just go to foursacredgifts.com, F-O-U-R, sacredgifts.com. And there you can learn more about, you can listen to some videos, you can get a song for free, and download the song that was made from the messages of the Indigenous elders on this book. And you can learn more about the course as well. So foursacredgifts.com. And the elders and I are smiling as we hear people. As you can hear those gifts, we all already have them. It's the key is to use them. So this is all doable. Yeah, it's very doable. But you can go to foursacredgifts.com and learn more about them and decide if you want to download the song and decide if you want to learn more about the course.
Wow, it's so great to have the course ready. I know you've been working really hard on it, and I'm so excited and can't wait to see it because the book just blew me away. And I really encourage my listeners to check it out. And today has been such a gift. Thank you so much, Anita. And you've shared so much. I appreciate you being here. I appreciate you being on the planet and helping guide us, especially as women, right? That we support each other and move forward and rise up because we are the change. Any closing comment?
I'm just glad to finally meet you in person, and I'll be meeting you in person hopefully soon as all this social distancing is able to end with our vaccines and stuff. But also just want to say all the women is that you are not your circumstances. If you're going through really difficult times, and even if you're going through really amazing creative times, we are far more than just what is the doing. We are human beings. We are spirit. And so I love you. And together, we will create the harmony that this world and all our relations deserve. So thank you so much for inviting me here, Kate.
Oh, many blessings. Thank you. Well, so for those of you listening, thank you for being here today. I appreciate you, and I hope that you are taking away some inspiration, some hope, and wisdom that can carry you on your journey. If you have an opportunity to subscribe, share, give us a review, if you're so moved, I would love that. And I'm your host, Dr. Kate Dow, reminding you it's your turn to find your voice, own your truth, and claim your power.